the reason why I have my phone here in front of me is just to see how many people we have also attending our service online. We have a very good group, and we are very blessed to have Brother Al, Sister Gladys, Brother Tewksbury, and some others with us. Even Brother Jet's mom is here with us also. So to all of them, we'd like to welcome them to our service, and we wish that very soon you'll be able to attend the service with us as well. We are very glad to have the Baldwin family here, and the daughter and the son-in-law, a son also, and we have about a Malcolm with us and his wife, and we also have a dear lady back there. We do not know your name, the one with the glasses. I don't think she knows that I'm talking about her. Yes, she does. Yes. Thanks for being here with us. Tell us your name.
Lorna.
Thank you. Welcome to our church family. We have my brother Suraj here with his wife back. They are members here. We are happy to see them. Behind my brother Cleveland, we extend a hand and welcome them again. They are always very regular in our church. We are very blessed to have you with us as well. We have the Gomboa family that is attending here on a regular basis. I already mentioned the previous Sabbath that as a pastor, I like to be very ethical, and I'm never going to be to the kingdom and get there and find out that I'll be blamed for stealing sheep from other pastors. So I don't want to do that. But when they come and they come and they come, I think I'm guiltless if I tell them, I hope you stay. You stay for good. So we are very blessed, and we have a sister Angelica there with us too. Thank you for being here with us. Now, all the other members here that are came and are here faithfully supporting the church, we like to say to you that we are very blessed that you are part of our family as well. Okay, everybody, sometimes we give a lot of emphasis to the visitors, and we take for granted those that are regularly every week here. No, we're not going to do that. We are very blessed that you are part of our family, and you are here to worship with us. Let's get started because we have a very good message to cover. If anyone comes to me, Jesus Christ says, but loves his father, mother, wife, children, brothers or sisters, or their bank account, or their Honda or Toyota or Ferrari, or if you love your property more than me, you cannot be someone who will follow me. How many people, if they will only look at this verse, can really tell why they are not in church? Because somebody is making a choice that something is more important to them than to be. And I'm not saying this to everyone that is not in church, because there are some people that cannot be here for some reason. But I'm talking about those that have made the choice. You know, they made a choice to choose to do something else besides being a follower of Christ. And I have met quite a few in my life as a minister, people that are received Bible studies, people that were baptized, and then something distracted them, and they left. And they are not back yet, and I don't know if they ever will be back. Even the Bible mentions something like that, too. There was someone that was with us, but they are no longer because of love of the world. They left. You know the text. Now, I'll put the title for this week, even though it's part two. I decided to put a different title. The last week, we have part one, is the who is the pilot of my ship? Who is the pilot of your ship? And you know what ship I'm talking about, right? Not that one that moved across the screen. I'm talking about, have you noticed that is the one, the same one in your bulletin? It has a cross right in the middle. What is handling the sail is a cross. And that's where the ship is. The pilot is. So everything that we do in a bulletin and the screen, everything has a meaning. And if you look carefully, you probably will discover what is the meaning. Now, the cost of shipping. How many of you, when you go to buy something on Amazon or something on, the first thing you look at says, is there any shipping? Let me give you some bad news or just news. Everybody pays shipping. Or it is on the price or is added to the price. So when you buy something and it says plus shipping, that means you're going to pay shipping twice. Why? Because every product, I have worked in business before, every product before is sold to the public, you have to add the cost of everything, the production, and one of the costs that is always added to every product that is sold is shipping. How do you take this here and make sure that that person gets the shipping, the movement, the location costs? And right now, because all the things going on in our country and other parts of the world, the shipping is increased. That's why when you go to the restaurant before, you would pay $15. Now you have to pay almost $40 because the shipping of the products, the cost went up. Now, Brother Isaka, the young one, he liked that. He gave a smile when I said the young one. He smiled. But Brother Joseph, he was talking about safari. Basically, we are talking about the same thing. It's a trip, a journey. And it takes a shipping. So when I say the cost of shipping, I talk about, you know, all the ship that is at the end of the word relationship, companionship, friendship, stewardship. Those are the four that we went already over. So in the beginning, God created everything. That's why he's the creator. Okay? You are worthy. We used this last week. We are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For you create all things, and by your will they exist and were created. He not only created, but he sustained. God did not create, like some people say, he created the world and went on vacation. There are people that believe that, that God is an absent God. He just created and took off. No, God is constantly involved because everything that God created, that's what we showed last week, has a purpose and also has a relationship. Every single thing. If you look at all the microorganisms, everything in this life affects us one way or the other because we're all part of one. Everything in creation. So there was the first day, there was the second day, and the third day, and then the fourth day, on the fifth day, and there comes the birds, and then, of course, the 6 days. We cover all this. Everything was created, but there is one more thing that was needed to be created. What was it? A day to celebrate the continuation of relationship between the Creator and also His creation, and also the creation with itself. So God have to create a different kind of relationship, and that is for the to start. Now we know that how God created. We mentioned here last week. Then the Lord God took dust from the ground and formed the man from it. Now many people don't pay attention to the fact that God took the dust. Remember when on the 6 days when God asked, order, command the earth to give the animals. And so like the earth gave birth to all the animals. So they came out of the ground. They all came from dust, just like us. But when it talks about the process, it didn't say God spoke and men came out of the ground or told the ground, give me a man. God kneeled down to the ground and he spoke directly by touching the ground and bring the ground up and form mankind. And so that's what God, he breathed the breath of life into the man's nose. And then the man became a living person. okay, not a living soul, not a living person, a living human being. And then it says, this is Genesis 2, verse 7, a New Century Version. This happened on the sixth day. Now, remember that I mentioned last week, so God paused for a second. It is wonderful when God pauses. He paused because even his pause, he was creating something. Even when it looks like he was not working, but he was. He gave the man opportunity to feel a need for companionship. And so the man looked around and says, you know what? I need to have somebody just like me, one of my kind. Because there was the other animals, they all have their kinds. But I am by myself. I need one of my kind with me. Then the Lord God said, oh, everything has been good so far, but now it's not good anymore because man cannot be by himself. And by the way, those that try suffers. I don't know, in our society we see so many people that they take off, they go to a very remote area, they try to live by themselves, they don't want to pay bills, they don't want to do anything else. But I don't know, if you watch television, I watch a show they call Alone. I don't know if you have heard about it. It's just people go to a remote area, they take their cameras, and they try to survive. Basically, they try to starve themselves to see how long they can starve themselves. And they go there, and if they stay longer, they get this. What is amazing that every single one of them go there. They can deal with lack of food. They can deal with lack of a lot of things. But one thing that always catch everybody, they miss somebody. It is I never see say, oh, I'm going to quit because I miss my cat. Oh, I'm going to quit because I miss my Ford 50 or my Ferrari. No, they all miss their loved ones. Even some cases, they have a very bad relationship with their mothers or their brothers, but now that they are being by themselves, they say, you know what? I miss my family. And most of them, a majority of them, they quit for that reason. It is not good for human beings to be alone because that's not the way God created us to have relationship. I will make a suitable companion, a companionship to be established to help him. And that's Genesis 2:18. So God established companionship. And since then, we all need companion. We all do. You'll be amazed when we are driving, and what do? We reach out for the radio. Even if it's just the sound of a companionship, we want to hear somebody. That is the basic need that we all have, companionship. And if somebody says, I better to live alone, I don't like to be around people, they are lying because I don't think they even know that we all do need. And especially sometimes people don't realize when Adam had that companion that God gave to him, he was happy since after. And by the way, no in-laws around, and they lived without, they have no long dating, and they live more than 900 years together. So that could tell us that is not how long you take for you to know somebody, is that when you got somebody from God, that is the right one. Companionship. So he says, then God said, let us make human beings in our image. So God wants that continued relationship. God did not only create them, but says, we want them to be one of us. So that's why God gave them likeness, image, so that we can be like God. Not God like some religions are teaching there. There are some religions that says, oh, God was a man before, then he became God. Now because we are men, we'll become God. That is not what the Bible teaches. That's not what we should be believing. Then the Lord God made man fall into his sleep, and you know what happened. And what happened? When he woke up and he saw the womb, And that's how he, the first thing that came out of his mouth is, ooh, man, that was, made him happy. 920 in some years. Brother, 900, we're still short. We still have a lot to go. All right? From light to light, that's the journey. From light to light, that's what we mentioned before. It says, then God said, let us make human being in our image according to our likeness. What is likeness? So all of us who have had their veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. Now look what it is, the rest of this verse says. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, remember when it, bless you, remember when there was the creation? It says the Spirit of God was over the waters. Here, I think the intent here is to make reference to that. It says, and the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him, the likeness, the image, as we are changed into His glorious image. The process, again, from light to light. We were created in glory. Because of sin, we lost some of that, but God has the process to restore us into that kind of relationship. And that is part of the journey that we are going through now. Here, defining likeness quickly. Socially, humans were created for relationship, for companionship, for friendship, fellowship, and there are a lot of other ships that I can share with you, but we don't have the time for it. But humans, socially, were created. And this, by the way, this is not religion. Sociology, if you are honest, if you're a scholar, if you're honest, you can see that there isn't a human. Just pay attention to human behavior, and you see that you can come to these conclusions here. Even animals, they are created for relationship. They are created for companionship, friendship, and fellowship as well. Now, likeness, mentally. Now, there are levels of intelligence among other creatures besides humans. But we were created a little higher, just lower than the angels, but a little higher. And that gives us a unique role in creation. Humans were created as rational beings. Human beings can reason, make choices, and are accountable for our choices. Morally, I don't know how many of you have heard sermons and have heard people even read books that we are born sinful, that we are born messed up. There's something wrong with us from the day we are born. And this is what Satan has created, this doctrine has created this, in order for us to say that, I cannot help myself. You know, God already made me imperfect, therefore, whatever I do wrong, I'm just doing what I'm supposed to do. Have you heard that expression? I'm just human. And that way, it's just like Pilate. You're washing your hands saying, I'm not responsible for anything because I was born this way. No. Humans were created in righteousness and perfect innocence. When we are created, the law of God is stamped inside of our hearts. By DNA, we are meant to be good. We learn to be bad. We make choices to be bad. And that is the reality. To reflect God's will written by nature in our hearts, if you want to see Romans chapter 2, verse 14 to 15, 16, you see there the reference that we are born by nature is in our hearts. If you want the reference again, it's Romans chapter 2. You can read from 13, 14. You see the explanation there. Spiritually, by the way, we are not born with spirituality as a part of us. Spirituality resides on our mind. Our spiritual being is a process that it happens in our mind. Okay? Humanity was created why I'm saying this, because some people think that, you have a mind and then you have a spiritual part inside of you that we call soul. Now, spirituality happens inside of the mind. Only the mind is capable. Humanity was created for worship. What kind of ship? Not for war, worship, okay? some people think that about the way they act towards each other, so many different religions, they look like they should spell this with an A, warship instead of worship, right? There are so many people fight for. Humans are created with an inherent need for God. Every human being. If you go to the jungle of the Amazon, there is still 70-some tribes up there that have never had a contact with human beings. Can you believe that? Still. If you go, if you find them, they have some sense of worship. Even though they never have been direct contact with civilization, every human being, no matter where, they call God in a different name, a different thing. They make God of stone, but they all human beings worship because that is inside of us. We are born with that. Friendship. What is friendship? God creates a relationship among everything that he created, and that is part of friendship. Friendship is a form that we connect with each other, we know that we need each other, and we serve each other. And that's what friendship is all about. Now, I need to go to the next one. It says, greater love has no other than this. What is the love? To lay down one's life for his or her friends. And that is what I call the cost. You see, in creation, God creates, creates. Then God says, it's my responsibility, I create, I have to come and pay the price to recreate them. And that is your Savior right there, my Savior on the cross, saying to you and myself, I am willing to pay the price for you to restore in you the image, the likeness that you have lost because of sin. So the cost. You notice how the cross, now the cross is there. That's my intent. It's stewardship. Many people think that things are for free. And they go out and try to get things for free. There is nothing in this life that is for free. Let me repeat because some of you may not really understand what I'm saying. There is nothing, nothing, nothing. More needed to say nothing again, right? Nothing for free. If you try to get something without paying for it, you're basically saying, I want somebody else to pay for it. Because there's nothing, once again, nothing, once again, nothing. You heard enough? Nothing for free. So please be careful. Next time you try to get something for free, I want you to be aware that you're just passing the cost to somebody else. Same thing in church. When you come and you believe that somebody else should pay for the electricity, somebody else should pay for the air, so you have to understand, nothing is for free. If you look into creation, the journey between the Creator into from light to light, everything pays to each other. There's a connection, responsibility to each other. When the plants were created, imagine if the plant says, you created me so I can feed those beasts. Because, see, the plants were created to feed. You read the Genesis 1. They were created to feed. They would have seeds, but they were created, and they're the animals we eat from them. Can you imagine if when the sun was shining, said, I have to stand here and just feed them. Everything in creation is a source of energy to something else. Everybody has to give in order to have harmony in God's creation. And this was established, as you see the order every day. Stewardship is a responsibility that we have to the world where we have been created. We need to be responsible. We need to be productive. We cannot just be consumers. In order for us to be a consumer, we have to be a producer too. We cannot just consume. Now, here's the picture again. This is how we know what real love is. what a real commitment is from the Almighty One. Because Jesus, the Creator, He came and gave His life for us. So we should give our lives. You see, God is giving. You are for us to learn how to give as well. That's what the text says. And that is, of course, the gift. That is the gift that we see on the cross. Now, here's something that most Seventh-day Adventists believe that we know a lot about. Okay, but it's something I promised last week that you hear something different today. What is the word? Fellowship. We are here today seeking fellowship. But we are here also for, not worship, but worship, right? So, notice how many words are there. How many letters. They are 10 of them. Genesis, let me go over here first. Genesis says this, and on the seventh day, God ended His work. So when He ended, not in the sixth day, many people say that God created the world in 6 days. No, He created in 7 days because on the seventh, He was still creating. Did you know that on the seventh, He was still creating? Did you know that? Oh, He creates something on the seventh. You see, the seventh day is not the first day repeated. If you look in science, the seven-day week system is actually exist. If when people try to make calculus how to fly into space, as they count the time and everything else, the seven-day week. The French one time tried to make a week of 10 days. It didn't work. We, the whole nature, the whole world, you see when the animals, how they procreate and everything else, it's all based on the week cycle. Everything is controlled by that. So God created the seventh day. Actually, He created the seventh day, another period of 24 hours. It's not something that is just the first one repeated. No, He created. And He says, ended His work on the seventh. He had done. He says, and He rested. Pay attention to the word rested on the seventh day from all His work which He has done. Here is something that I'd like to show you. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it He rested from all His work which He has made. What is the word rested means? Mean He stopped to do it? When you rest, what do? You lay down or you take a place. When He says He rested, here is what He means. Before I get there, let me get this one first. Discipleship. I have no idea what the order here is. Discipleship. By the way, this is one thing that I thought is just a coincidence anyway. 12 letters, the discipleship, 12. And it says, those who come to me cannot be my disciples unless, here, you pay the price. It says, they love me more. And the word here is more. If you love those that are your father, your family, everything else more than God, you cannot be the disciple. That's the base for the discipleship. Those who do not carry their own cross cannot be my disciple. So I'll take care of this. Let me go back to the worship part now. Worship. Yes. By the way, I think worship there, I put this worship one letter on the top of each day. And we don't have the time now to give them the meaning for it. But let's pretend that the W on the first day is to remind everybody that work starts on the first day. Okay? And then the P on the seventh is the time for prayer and praise. Let's leave it at that point right now. We will take care of the other ones a later time. But I want to call your attention to this. In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, who in heaven? By the way, they have called the Vatican many things, but they never call heaven. Okay? So when he says our Father, he's not referring to the one that is there in the Vatican. He says our Father in heaven. Hallowed be your name. What is hallowed means? Sanctified. When God rested on the seventh day, he says he sanctified it and he rests in it. So here is something that I'd like to show more to you. According to Jesus, God's name is to be holy, sanctified, kept set aside. God's name is holy and must not be taken or used in vain. And also, you can read that in Matthew chapter 23, when Jesus Christ said, do not call anybody Father but only your Heavenly Father, nobody else. He goes back, remember the Sabbath. Now, I put this, can you see that this circle going on? That is the same from Alexa, right? That's the way I got this from. Now, notice one thing. What happens there? Two colors going around and around and around and never ending because there's no end. There's a relationship with that in what I'm about to show to you. This is something probably you've never seen about the Sabbath. I'm going to share this, how we got to the word Abba first, and then I'll tell you one thing else. What is this, Sirianni? It's it has the description right there. It's like a bull, ox, okay? That's how the A was created. That's how we have the A today in our alphabet. It started with the Phoenicians. They started, most of the languages that are in the world today started with the Phoenicians. They had that way inclined like this. Then, of course, the Greeks copied and made the A like that. And then the Romans came in sharp, things made a little bit more, and that's how we got A. So actually, A is just a bull, Egyptian, from the 3000 BC. Then it became like this. And then it became like that. And then the Greeks, and finally the way we have today. That's how we got the A, okay? It took a lot of time for us to find this, all put this together. Now, here's the fascinating thing. What is this? A house. But if you turn like this, it becomes a B. That's why the letter B means a house. Beth means house. Now, when you have an A, an ox, and then you have a B, you have the two letters that are in Hebrew and many other languages called father, the ox house. Now, why? This is how we have the word alphabet. Actually, alphabet means the house of Alpha, the house of God. That's what alphabet is, because the alphabet is where it creates everything. Every single word, everything that you want to create, you use the alphabet to describe. So alphabet is basically the house of God, where everything comes from. Now there's something else. AB is Father. Okay? You have seen father like Abraham, great father of Abraham, Abigail, the father of joy, Abner, father of light, and the list goes on and on. Okay, so you can now, every time you see a name on the Bible, it says it starts with AB, means father of something. Okay? Now, A and B. Here is something some of you may never saw before, and now you may see this. AB is father, right? Then we have AB, also father. Now, Hebrew, we write this way in our languages. In Hebrew, writes this way. So, either way you come this way, you come that way, you get father. Now you have, how many fathers do you have there? How many? There's three. Did you count? Look there. A, B, I put a different color just to help you to visualize. A, B is father. A, B is father. And together is father. Yes. And then here comes why God says he rests on the Sabbath. Literally, he says, I made the Sabbath my sanctuary. That's why the Sabbath is holy, because I am resting in it. It's not just I'm resting with it, I'm in it, literally. You don't find this in Sunday. It doesn't matter how sophisticated you go with your Bible and twist verses, you will not put Abba in the middle of Sunday, it won't work. If you have that moon on your flag and you go to on Friday on church and you pray 3 or 4 or 5 or whatever, Abba is not going to be there. Because he chose to reside, to make a sanctuary. Do you know what that B is for? Remember, do I need to go back for you to see what the word B means? The word B is house, is a sanctuary. So God made his house, his sanctuary on the Sabbath. It's not just a place for him to worship, but also to fellowship. Let us make men. When you look at that picture, now it makes sense. But without this visualize this, you won't be able to. And I'm not going to say this, but God knows that I'm doing this with as humble as possible. I have talked to so many pastors, 70 of them, people that have been a pastor for almost 50 years. They have never seen this in the middle of the Sabbath. And here comes some spanking. I'm sorry, but I have to deliver. Why in the world are we taking Abba out of the Sabbath and put Saturn in his place? Why is any Seventh-day Adventist there is in a safari to heaven? Why we are so careless that we take Abba out of the Sabbath, and just so that we please the world, we say Saturday. We take from Abba and we give to a pagan God that never existed. Don't be afraid, brothers and sisters, to shock and disappoint somebody in this world how you refer to the sacred Abba. Because you see, every time you say Sabbath, you're praising the Creator because you recognize his presence and you are worshiping in fellowship with him every single time you make reference to the Sabbath. Every time that you ignore, you are taking the name of God in vain because you're putting something else in his place. The triune God is right there. I couldn't have made any more beautiful and sophisticated to impress your mind so that you can look at this picture. And now I have one more thing that I mentioned to you. Do you know why Abba starts with A and ends with what letter? No, it doesn't. Here's the trick. It starts with A and ends with what? It doesn't end. That's why it's A in both ends. That's why I put that circle there to give you a hint. Abba has no beginning and has no end. It's forever. The Creator is forever. That's what Abba is all about. And it is God here, and the place where you reside is right here. That's what Abba is all about. I don't know, brothers and sisters, if this doesn't touch you and cannot convince you that from now on, always refer to Abba Day as Sabbath and not Saturday, I don't know what else can I do. Abba and Father. I know that this is just English. In English, there's seven letters. S, I'll say to you, it stands for salvation. It stands for the Savior. It's Abba. Seventh, TH will be also in Greek, it stands for God. So Savior and God will be the initials, and Abba is right in between. You can make many other things. You can be creative about it. But is the seventh, TH, is the Sabbath, not the first. One Catholic priest once told me, oh, God created, Sabbath can be any day, because Sabbath means rest. And I said, that's why the Lord says for people like you, I told him, he says the seventh. Now you can count, right? And by the way, that was in Portuguese. In Portuguese, they have no excuse, because they call Sunday the Lord's Day. They do, because of Catholic Church. But the second day, they call second day. The third day, we call third day. Fourth day, fifth day. So when we talk to a Brazilian, we tell them, or the Portuguese-speaking person, I said, what day? Oh, Sunday's the seventh day. I said, how can it be? How come the next day is second? And also those that it says that they say they go to church on Sunday, they say this, we go to church because Jesus resurrected on the first day. They said that from their own mouth. And then they said, and that's why it's the seventh. Excuse me? He said, you go to church because Jesus resurrected the first day, and then you call that the seventh. Which one is it? And by the way, you're not guiltless when you refer as a Seventh-day Adventist to Sunday as the weekend. If you make Sunday the weekend, you are being tricked into admit a lie. Sunday is not part of the weekend. Sunday has been and always will be the beginning of the week. Today is the end of the week at sunset. My Father's house is the Sabbath. Who wants to be in Father's house? Joseph, when you mentioned today in your safari, he says, John, you make a reference to John 14, verse 1, 2, and 3. I'm going to prepare a place. And I want you to be there. But brothers and sisters, those that do not recognize his house now will not be in his mansion either. This is just for us to practice how to be in a holy place with the Holy One. We're almost done, okay? You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Which commandment is that one? Which one? We said we should not take the name of God in vain. Which name? Abba, the Creator. You know that is the only name of God, of all the names I study, I have a long list of all the names that God is referring to in the Bible. The only one who starts and has no end is Abba. Of all the other titles that God has, none of them is so unique as Abba is. And by the way, in the Bible, in your Bible, in Greek, when it says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, he, in Greek, he's making a reference to I am Abba. I have no beginning, no end. That's what it basically what he is trying to say. So the Alpha and the Omega is the same application of Abba. Don't take the name of God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. So what comes after the third? Abba. Remember the Sabbath day. So God, even in the order of the commandments, warned us before we got to the Sabbath, says, be careful. Here is what they're going to do. Remember, first he said, don't take, and then he says, remember. What is there? Abba. Happy Sabbath, everyone. And I hope that not only this Sabbath, but all the Sabbaths from now on, as we continue this journey. Honor the Sabbath. The best definition for you that I found in the Bible, how to keep observe the Sabbath, is Isaiah 58, verse 13, which says what? Those scholars here, where are you? What it says there? It says, you should not have your own thoughts, your own words. So on the Sabbath, it's not time for us to talk about, oh, I got a new dress, or I got a new car, I want to pay this. Brothers and sisters, if you are not creative enough to have enough things to talk about the Sabbath that will honor God, maybe you should spend a little bit more time with your Bible. Because if you do take a little more time eating the proper food, probably you'll be able to be more like Abba wants you to be. Please, there's a mom here, there's another mom. I'm going to talk to the mothers now. Just the mothers, please. The men, you can take a distract a little bit, just for the mothers. Be careful not to make the Sabbath the worst day of the week. Your children can learn to love God or even be at odds with God the way you present the Sabbath to them. They can have fun without being selfish. When they're fun, it is something that is uplifting to somebody else, not only to them. I remember one family once said, I give gifts to my children on Christmas. And you know what I taught them? The best things of Christmas is when they receive the gift, they look and says, now who do I want to give this to? And their kids start giving gifts to all the kids that did not have opportunity. And their children, it says, it was the best thing ever. Christmas for us was so enjoyable. It was not for what we got, but what we could give. If you want to be a very good representation of what Ab is, remember, it's what you give that makes you what you are. It's not what you take. May Abba bless you and help you to this journey from light to light. Fellowship. Let's go all the seven. Relationship. What has come second? Companionship. Third. Friendship. And then after friendship, stewardship. Then after stewardship, fellowship. And then after fellowship, discipleship. And final, on top of everything, worship. If you take all those ships, you're going to be traveling from light to light. God bless.